The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent, such as We Mixed It, LLC, or Sounds Awesome, respectively. On that note, welcome to Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. I am Desmond McNeese. I will be your pod mistress. And these are my wolf brothers.
No.
Okay.
All right, just start over. Like I said, it was something. I'm just drying off from all that rain Rand made. You know what? I feel like it would have been better if you made snow.
Okay. No, I think we've been recording.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Now we're live.
So yeah, if you're live, sorry about that. Yeah, hopefully it's all recorded. If you want to catch what we live. What we lost, it'll be on the audio feed coming shortly. Okay, so now let's talk about the actual episode. All you've heard is Justin and I bitching about, you know, how much hope we have for this show. And
how much we wanted to love it and how it's just kind of like kicked us in the dick. I will say this was a better finale than the first two seasons, hands down.
Yeah.
A much better episode in all aspects than both seasons put together, in my opinion. I feel like the editor can make this season amazing.
It's going to be a 3.5-hour season.
Pretty short.
Like, it's going to be like the first two episodes and the last. I mean, do you even add? Yeah, I guess you do add this episode. I'm like, do you just say
there's episode? Enough important stuff in every episode to where it'll actually probably link together pretty well, because he's really genius about that kind of stuff.
I feel like this one desperately needs a remix. Like 7 and 8 need to play simultaneously. You know, things like that. Like the first four episodes are one movie and you move things around.
Like let them know that like it's happening at the same time. Is that what you're trying to say? Because I feel like they did a better job of that in season two of letting you know everything was happening at the same time than this season.
Okay, so I'm sorry. So tell me. So in the episode we just watched, they tell us that Swan has been Amyrlin for 10 years.
Right.
Is that book lore? Is that go along with the book?
I thought it was closer to 20.
Yeah.
But, you know, because the Amyrlin seat who was there when the foretelling took place, like she sends some people out to go, you know, start hunting. They all end up dead. Guitara Sedai died right after the foretelling. And then shortly thereafter, the Amyrlin seat herself ends up dead. So that you know that someone in the tower is, you know, obviously for the Dark One, and they're trying to keep this information from being spread. They didn't realize that, you know, Moraine and Swan also knew, and she had charged them with finding him as well, even though they weren't full sisters yet, they weren't full sisters yet, but did become right after that. And then I think a couple years after, by the time they run through all the other sisters that are dead, who they sent out, they end up having to kill the Amyrlin seat. And then I think that is when Swan is put into power, because she's one of the most powerful channelers there. It's like her, Moraine, and Elida are kind of like top three.
Yeah.
So that's how that happens. And so I didn't mind seeing that. That was kind of cool. But like I said, continuity wise, 10 years, and then, you know, Elida says later, you've been looking for the dragon for 20 years. So maybe they're just doing that so it makes more sense that she, you know, took 10 years to consolidate power to become Amyrlin seat. Because they do say that, oh, you know, she was only Amyrlin seat for 4 years, a person who died before them.
Yeah.
So just the timeline, obviously it's different in the show, and I get that, but that doesn't make sense even just as a show person to me. And it's like, oh, we want to make sense that it took her a while to, you know, gain enough support in the tower to be the, oh, that's what you need to fucking be logical and make sense? Shut the fuck up with that. Those are the things that really piss me off, because I can forgive a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But it's like, at this point, I feel like the fandom itself has a right to say to Rafe, no more, dude, no more missteps. This is like, if we go forward, it's got to be with someone who knows how to pace TV and get the most out of 8 or 9 episodes. It's just, the fucking costumes by the end of this episode were just annoying as fuck to me. I really liked them towards the beginning, and they've just gotten like more and more fucking ridiculous as we get closer to the end. Like whatever Savannah was wearing at the end, some fucking half a snake wrapped around her neck. And I mean, maybe that's what Rafe's idea of like sexy powerful is, but it just looks like you're a crazy gypsy woman that sells, you know, old shirts or something on the flea market. I don't fucking know. I don't mean gypsy. I'm sorry. That's a terrible thing. I'm just saying yeah. it doesn't scream, you know, I yield chief woman's wife, wise one. It's like, it's ridiculous. It makes you look silly.
Especially when I guarantee you at some point, Robert Jordan described in great detail exactly what she was wearing.
Yeah. And she wore stuff that was like ridiculous in the sense that a lot of the IEL, because one of the things that they would do is when they, you know, when they conquer someone or fight someone and, you know, conquer a city or whatever, they take something called the fifth. They can go around and take whatever they want. Basically, I don't know who keeps track if it's only the fifth of shit, but they'll generally take jewelry and golden cups and stuff like that. So a lot of the women, especially the wise ones, will wear like ridiculously gaudy jewelry just piled up, you know, and Savannah has a ton of that and has always got her titties out. She's always wearing like a really low cut blouse and stuff. Nothing like that. You know, and the headdress factor in the show is
so the just, back to Suwon getting voted in. Why was that vote so dramatic? Was there compulsion going on during that vote? What was that?
No. So if you notice during Swan's raising at the beginning, the upper levels had sisters in them witnessing, and almost all of the sitters were there. The minimum needed to sit for that kind of promotion, demotion, trial, exile, sentencing of your crimes.
No, the 10 years. The 10 years ago.
What do you mean?
When they were showing with the cold opening with Suwon.
Okay, that's the equivalent of like the presidential election.
No. But why didn't people just keep? Why did 3 people stand and say, "I vote Suwon Sanche"? And then they were about ready to close the session because no one else would vote. And then more people started standing up voting for Suwon. Why the dramatic? Why were people hiding their votes until, like, was there? That's why I asked if there was compulsion, because it's like there's, if she was going to get voted in unanimously, then everyone just fucking stand up and vote her in. Like, why? Why?
So, this is just speculation by me. At that point, that is the way that happened. It was Elida versus Suwon. They're doing it for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is they're showing that how many people are there and how many people are needed to elect a new Amilrin seat. That being said, I think it's because Alvarian, spoiler alert, she's, you know, more things are black than her color of her skin. She is Black Aja. Oh. And so I'm thinking that she, because you see Leandrin kind of make a face when she stands up for her. So I think kind of the plan was to elect Elida because, again, she is foolish and arrogant and wants power, so can be easily manipulated, right? That being said, I don't really understand why she changed it. Obviously, there was some sort of reason behind it. I'm guessing the Dark One or the Shadow, you know, the Dark Friends had a reason for it. Why? I honestly couldn't tell you. Maybe they're just trying to maybe they thought if they elected her that she'd come clean and be like, "Hey, we're looking for the dragon," you know, blah, blah, blah. And maybe she'd help them find the dragon or something like that. Honestly, that's my best guess. That one, I'll watch a few videos and see if there's anything else that comes up, but I can't think of anything. I've had a hard time because I've been so all consumed by the show. I'm just like, I try to think about it almost, why are they doing it in a show sense more than even like trying to be true to the books?
Yeah. Yeah, just make it make sense.
And the main reason, I think, is they're just showing... What? Oh, read that? Hey! What's up, Mule? How you doing, man?
Oh, you know that? Oh, cool.
He was, he's one of the White Cloak, I think, listeners. Maybe I think he's one of the fellows that do the show. I'm not too sure, but he was on the stream. So thanks for showing up, man.
I'm going to read this just in case if anyone's listening to this and not watching. You would think over the course of the season, you would see Elida getting support among the non-Reds and getting them to turn against Suwon. I have no idea why enough Ajahs turned against Suwon. Yeah. Yeah. They really...
Well, especially even... Sorry, go ahead, Des.
They just did a bad job of make it, at the end of it being like, oh yeah, we saw the tides turning like this. Like there was a
there wasn't even really anybody of the Reds supporting Elida that much at first until they sent the I can't think of her name. Like it's like Satsuma. It's a weird name. I can't pronounce it and I can't name right now. The badass like Black Aes Sedai that killed the two warders in the first episode, and then they send her away.
Yeah.
And then everybody starts playing ball with Elida. But at first everybody's kind of like, get fucked. So, you know, like you said, what did she do to gain their support all of a sudden?
And if, because I feel like at some point they even mentioned that Moraine has been looking for the dragon for 20 years. That means she's been looking. She's been looking for the dragon through no less than 3 Ammerlin seats.
The one that told him, the one after, and then Suwon, and then now Elida. So, yes.
So it would make more sense, like if Moraine is getting away with murder, a lot of people in the tower are just like, what is she doing? How is she doing it? She does whatever she wants, blah, blah, blah. She's not beholden to anything. Like her and Suwon are together. It's like that would make, again, more sense if we watched Suwon get sworn in 20 years ago, not 10 years ago.
Right. And like Mule said, it's like, why is there no support? You know, you really don't exactly see her gathering a ton of support. I think maybe that first part was to show that maybe you can't always trust Alvieran, you know, maybe show that she's kind of a liar, even though she wasn't like outright lying. She could just change her mind. But, and I think a part of it is so you can see later on, they make a mention that 11 is the minimum to elect a new Ammerlin seat. And that is the minimum of sitters that they had. That's why Varen and all the other sisters were out. You know, our job is to keep you out of the tower while this happens, basically, because we knew you would probably be loyal to Suwon Sanchi.
Yep. And
that kind of stuff is good. But and just real quick, I'm sure people are going to pick up on this, but you realize what the fucking did was the fucking Othrod dildo at the beginning of the season, right? Season 1.
No.
They bonded each other like warders.
That's
why she knew when she fucking died immediately. That's probably why she got rid of Lan for a while. So that she could use her warder to warder text messaging like Maxim and Alanna.
I knew there. Thank you. I can't believe I've been waiting for 3 seasons for that to pay off. And
I'm sure a lot of the other content creators will pick up on that. And if they don't, I'd be really surprised. But I'm like, that's when that happened. That's the only time that it could have happened. And that's why it was so poignant.
Yeah. Well, because they showed it in the previously on, too. They really zoomed in on it.
Exactly. But also, it's one of the things that, to me, reinforces Rafe's fucking arrogance of, like, I have this arc and this is what I'm fucking doing. Because that's been in the works since season 1. That's not a fucking retcon. That was something that he had a plan to do.
Yeah.
It's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. I'm fucking doing this. I don't care. Also, and Des, you know me. The person who's announcing the vote, I'm sorry, looks very dude-ish. And I feel like if that's the case, it's a troll by Rafe, because like people would be like, well, what if I just identify as a female? Then could I channel Sidene and it'd be okay? I feel like that's a troll if that's the case. Like if him just being like, fuck you. To people, maybe I'm just, like you said, I'm trying to not take out like my stress on like being pissed off at certain things. And I'm not really pissed off at that. I'm just kind of like, if that's the case, I'm sure it wasn't done accidentally. And I could care less. to be honest. But it's just like, if you're doing that after people like kind of made a joke about that, you're just a dick. Like, I mean, it's just like,
yeah, like
I said, I'm ready for it to have a CW budget and get somebody who knows how to run TV better and try to stay as true as you can to the source material for, you know, 12 episodes or so. And I think it couldn't be worse. I think it would probably be better because you'd have to rely a little bit more. Man, you guys are showing up today. Thank you, guys. That is really cool. These are all the White Cloaks guys and gals. And I haven't seen everybody. I really appreciate the support, you guys. That's really cool. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
But, you know, and I just some of the stuff, like they make Swan look shifty when Leanne comes in to talk to her. And it's like, I mean, I guess you've been keeping a secret for 20 years, but like, this is one person that you know you can trust at this point, and she's begging you to do so, and you're kind of like, it's fine. Well, you're going to die.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sad.
Jeez.
We have an audience tonight, and I am so, like, just tongue-tied at what to talk about this show anymore.
Well, it's just right now it's going to be some negativity. I will point out some stuff I like. It's just like Egwene coming in with Rand and just being all pouty, like mom's a tail of trash. Like, ugh. Samael, hella not dead. I knew that. And they're gonna
now he is.
Well, I was like, well, he's going to be the teacher. I'm like, oh no, Mogadin's going to.
Ugh.
I don't know. Fucking fish guts, right? I don't know.
Turn him into a. Yeah, it looked like she was making a spider web to catch a bigger Forsaken.
I thought she was going to go, you know, do you want to be gay, Jaichim? Do you want to be gay, Samael? And turn him to some like channeling Forsaken gray man at first. And I was like,
yeah,
that'd be kind of, I wouldn't hate that. You know, I mean, do something cool. And then I got less excited when I think that Mogadin's fingers are just tattoos. Not that she's just some.
Yeah, once I saw the other tattoos you can see higher on her fingers, I think.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay. Do we know where that Tenchiko set actually is, Des? Because that's so cool.
It's
just like how they could pull the boats up like right to the water. I want to live there. Not always, but
definitely want to go visit there. Yeah, again, this is like this is the first time I've wanted to like travel like Lord of the Rings style, go to old Hobbit houses and stuff like that. Like I want to go to some of these places that they filmed in. So,
yeah, I mean,
so Lanfear was going to get Samael. Is that how you say it?
Samael
to train Rand.
Because you'll see once we get done doing this and we go back to the Goodwill of Time books, there is some stuff that happens right after this Golden Bowl ridiculousness. Oh, cool. Black Sails. I think that's a good show, actually. South Africa? Okay. It's fucking dope, wherever that is. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Just like right up to the water with the, you know, stone buildings or whatever. But just so CW feeling, dude. 100%. Like, you know, Rand and Lanfear's conversation, you know, it had potential to be good and it wasn't. And, he could have really driven it home and just, you know, twisted the knife. And he was just like, it was very, whatever, you're fat. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, ugh.
Go ahead.
You know, at the end of Shadow Rising, there's another Forsaken, and he gets Loki captured by Rand, not Moraine. He gets shielded by Lanfear after Rand defeats him, and then he is kind of like, it was kind of like when Rand was, you know, milking the lightning to kill Samael. His ability to channel is severely restricted, so he can teach him some stuff, but he can't like travel or do anything too crazy with the power. It weakens him a lot, you know. Also, the fucking stuff with Lan and Melindra is just stupid. Something that they did purely for a lore dump.
Just so
you can see what happens after, like, if you betray your Dark Oath, which That being said, nothing like that really happens in the books. There is something similar where certain someone poisons themselves so they can betray their dark elves. Because otherwise you physically can't, it's like the Aes Sedai, you physically can't tell a lie. Your oath of the dark one physically won't let you betray them unless it's within the hour of your death. It's a loophole in the wording, basically.
Staplebow, you're absolutely right. This has mirrors of like the scene. I didn't even think about it. The scene I was complaining about last week where
it was just to build up Moraine again before she gets fucking axed, dude.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same as Loial playing Maiden's Kiss so he can get out of tow just to get right back into tow. It's like you just wasted 6 minutes to do a loop around the block. We're right back where we started.
Yeah, we're literally right back. Wait, what is happening? You know what I mean? It's so redundant. And a lot of
everyone out there, everyone who's listening live right now, just FYI, I have not read all the books. So if I ask any questions and you're like, who the fuck is this guy? I'm the new guy.
About a Will Time show. He doesn't even know about Will Time. This is crazy.
Justin tricked me into doing this show and I'm learning as I go.
I got to go get some weed, dude. I'll be right back. I'm going to leave you with something. The Melinda stuff. She's like, Lanfear comes up and she's like, oh, I'm going to call in that favor. What favor? You've been out for like a year? Like, how'd you hook up with this bitch all of a sudden? Like, when does she owe you a favor from? What for? Like, and she also says something about, I swore my oath to Dark to resurrect Manetherin, right? Not Manetherin, Malkier for Lan, right? Again, she talks about Malkier being this cool place. Like, she's not that much older than him, 3-4 at max. How do you remember all this stuff? Did you swear your oath to the dark when you were like 4 years old? Like, just another continuity thing that's like, you know how we are about continuity. It drives me fucking insane. Anyways, I keep talking. I can hear you.
All right, Justin's gonna go get some weed. There was so much in this episode. Like, this is such a weird show where, I mean, I realize you got to have some down episodes. You got to give your, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you don't with 8 episodes. You don't need downtime. Like, you really got to go. And they rushed this episode. They didn't rush it, but they crammed so much in. Like, I feel like episode 6 should have moved a little bit faster. Maybe been a little bit shorter, and then season 7 or episode 7 and episode 8 should have been like a 2.5 hour finale. All kind of, I think we should have seen all of this happening together. Like, you're bouncing around so much in episode 8. Like, why not cut back to the Two Rivers every 10 minutes?
I can think of two day drinking scenes that we didn't fucking need in any way where we could have got some shit. I'm all for day drinking, brother. I'm just, you know, hey. And also, is Ruark fucking John Wayne School of Acting or what? Him and at fucking Avienda, the way they talk, it's like they're in a fucking dumb Western. And just
so
Avienda is one of the most like disappointing characters. I'm so bummed.
Balefire is not an angry all, right?
No, we're gonna get to that. Let me run through a couple things and then we'll get to the Balefire. I kind of was like, oh, Tom's going to die and then Matt's going to get his hat.
Rest of my notes are just groups of people talking to each other. So remind me what the fuck. Just like, it turns into a fucking horror movie. Like, everyone splits up into groups of two and they just scatter.
I know.
It's like,
let's split up. You're going to die.
You're going to. Yeah. Mm. While Rand,
give me something positive. Okay.
All right. Give me something positive.
The very first scene, Elida coming out of the red stone doorway, I thought was cool. Looked cool. Had the effect. Had kind of book canon in my head, kind of thing. I'm like, all right. Yeah, Pilgrim. Sorry, that's one of my notes. Avi. Sorry. Hey, Pilgrim, our people aren't ready for this truth of the way of the leaf. I don't know who that was, but anyway.
I just want to answer this question. I just want to add to this thing that Mule just said. Yes, you're right, but only if we stitch episode 7 and 8 together. I think.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Just throwing opinions around people. None of this matters.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
I missed that last one. I can't tell if the AI was acting weak or what was the last one? Yeah, it's right, you know, because I feel like the directing is okay because some of the actors do a great job. I think, you know, some people, like, they just had headcanon for someone and then they liked them and they're like, okay, we're gonna do that. Because, like, I think Ruark just sucks. Like, I mean, he's the least compelling character around, and he's such a good character in the books.
Yeah, I think they should have pared the Aiel down a little bit. Like, I don't know that we needed 4 massive clans to get the point across about what the Aiel are. Like, I think a couple little tinker clans of Aiel would have been just fine. And, like, all of a sudden this episode, there's fucking thousands of them. And you're just like, what the fuck is going on? And none of them even know about Ran. Like, they're all just going to trust that.
Yeah, what was the memo that got you guys all there? We're just hanging out, waiting for the Karakarn because we heard that someone might be him. Or I guess, okay, Dreamwalkers, right? They probably told the clan wise ones, and then they spread the word. But
yeah,
you know, did we establish that a little bit? I guess in episode 4 when they talk about she came to me in my dreams and said we all have to come here. Like, that's another one of those things. Either I'm gonna fucking hit you over the head with a hammer, or baby bird it to you so subtly you're just like, get the fuck out of my face, what is happening? So you missed stuff. For a second I thought they were setting up the box too, and then I could have sent out these Aes Sedai to go get Ran, and then it was just a total fucking red herring to get you know, them out. Another thing that Tom says is he's like, used to take apart all the clocks, you know, they're setting up that she has a special talent with building making Turangriel and stuff like that, but we're probably never going to get any of that. So,
well, and she ends up being
matter.
She ends up being the one who can channel and find iron and stuff too, right? The thing that she's talking about. No. Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought that was foreshadowing.
Egwene can, okay. But they don't. It's not really hugely prevalent in the books. They just make a few mentions of it. Why did it look like so smoky when they're all walking around? That, like, is it just because there's like incense burning in the opium sex den that they're in, or
that's
did
my
you notice
guess.
That at all, or it seemed
I didn't, but I did notice in the first 2 episodes, everyone, it was like a fucking, it was like living in my mom's house in the 80s, like just fucking incense everywhere. So I think I just
you're fired.
By episode 7, I'm just like, yeah, everything's fucking smoky. Because
yeah, everybody's got a smoke machine at their house. It's fine.
If they're in the desert, they're in the desert, and no one has showered in months, you got to light some incense. Like, no, it smells like ass.
It keeps the sand from getting everywhere. Makes total sense.
Yeah.
Exactly. So let's get to the fucking balefire.
I dare.
So why did it look like you know, like the Kylo Ren's like shock lance trooper guys things? It's well, it didn't look as cool as it should have as balefire. The after effect of it, I thought, was pretty cool. It showed it, you know, burning her out of the pattern and what she just did ceasing to exist. I thought that was a very good representation of how that works. That being said, the balefire looked retarded. It was like a stun gun with a Death Star mini laser beam that was purple. Balefire, they talk about it being a white hot blinding, if anything, slightly blue tinged light, not a purple ray gun.
But it's not a thing, right? You don't get a balefire gun. Like, people just, it's a weed.
No,
right?
It is a Turangriel with a special, that is what you do. You just channel into it and it goes. Like, Elaine doesn't know how to make balefire the weave, but if you channel into that thing, it makes balefire.
But some people can just make balefire.
Yeah, a lot of people can. If you're strong enough, you can. And if you know the weed, you can.
Oh,
okay. It gets thrown around quite a bit as you get later in the books, even though they're kind of not supposed to.
If
you use it too much and you start burning too many people out of the pattern, it starts to fucking warp the fabric of reality, basically. Short answer.
That makes sense. I don't remember us ever talking about a Balefire Angriel. That's so I was thinking that was a
yeah, it's major. It's been barely mentioned in the books, really. And it, like I said, it really doesn't become super prevalent until the end of book four, where a couple of the Black Aja members in these kind of scenes start throwing it around, which we did not get in any way, shape, or form. We got no confrontation between Nynaeve and Mogadin. And they moved up, Nynaeve breaking her block way early, which, while that in itself is fine, it was pretty similar to the books, and it just was lame. I don't care that much. It didn't have to be that theatrical. You wasted a ton of time and some effect budgets on it, and Leandrin's still not fucking dead. It just, what are we doing? And what? Rafe's mommy issues are ruining the show. I'm sorry, dude. It's all it can be at this point, dude.
Well, you know that
Leandrin's his mom.
Well, you know this whole show is his whole love of Wheel of Time is based on mommy issues, right?
That's why I said it.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you actually I just heard it in an interview recently. So
I'm not
that
clever as a shot. It wasn't a shot in the dark, dude. It was like, you know, he's talked about it. And then it's like, clearly, like, either your mom, like, Reg, and like left some parts out or colored them in a certain way to you. Or like, I really don't want to make it personal, man. I don't like the job you did. But I feel like some of the choices you made were so personal that
yeah,
it fucked it up. Matter of fact, okay, I said this to the White Cloaks the other day. Sorry if I'm repeating myself, y'all that are here. Thank you again. The little gal I work with, Gold Star lesbian, her words. I was talking to her. She loves books. She loves TV shows. Doesn't know fuck all about the Wheel of Time. We're talking about some stuff. I kind of was saying some things that I disliked about the show and things that I think have went a different way, the magic system and how the dragon really couldn't be a girl or it wouldn't be a big deal. And her words were, it sounds like he's coloring it so hard from his experience, he's missed the complete message of the series.
Yeah. Yeah.
And while it's okay for it to mean something else to everybody and something different to everybody, when you are trying to make a media property like this, it's a mistake to be so singularly focused.
Yep. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that until this exact, because we've talked about it a lot, but it was just like, you know what? It's 2025. It's not 1990 anymore. Like, that's fine. Yeah.
Well, and that's not the problem. Like, I don't care that a character is gay. I don't care if a character is trans. I don't care about any of those things. When you're making it from a point of view that where like, this is the only way that you can see it, it doesn't matter if it's gay, straight, whatever you're doing from that single point of view, you will make some people happy and you will alienate the rest of your fandom. And it doesn't have to be like a racist thing or anything like that. It can just be like, you know, lightsabers are dumb or something. I don't know. You know, I'm trying to think of something to kind of compare it to because it's such a complicated issue.
And you know what, Rafe? Just make this show good and you can do whatever the fuck you want for your next show. You'll be Rafe fucking Judkins, the guy that brought Wheel of Time to the screen. Like, you get a free pass for your next project. And you can do whatever the fuck you want.
And like I said, those are things that I don't care about in the show at all. The things that you've tried to be too cute with and focused on so much as far as interpersonal relationships that.
Yeah.
If it fit into the story and it was important and it mattered, I am all for everything. You can have a fucking giant fucking 10-way orgy every episode if it makes sense to the show and works. I don't care. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. It matters is like,
or even
you put stuff in that didn't need to be there.
Kill the first three seasons, and then in the fourth season, you kind of you wander off for two episodes until you know you're.
Yeah. You have a whole episode about the governor and his weird jerking off to dead zombie heads, and nobody cares.
Only true fans of Lost will understand this. You can have your Nikki and Paolo episode, right? Am I right? Come on. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. That being said, next thing that okay. Almost really, really good. The Eelfin, Matt going through the doorway, Matt getting hung. Not exactly what I expected the folks in the doorway to look like. Kind of CW-ish, but not the worst thing ever.
What it folks in the doorway?
The Fox guy.
Oh, I thought you meant like as he was going through the doorway, but just yeah, the actual Fox.
No. Yeah, the actual like Fox guy.
He's I don't remember. I feel like I've heard him explained in the book, but not to such detail that like I had it super pictured in my head. It looked from the distance. I kept thinking of Pennywise, the old 1990s Pennywise the Clown.
What, Tim Curry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's obviously close up. It doesn't look like Tim Curry at all. But from a distance, it's like, oh, you got the eyes.
You had the eyes. It's got those creepy eyes. Like I said, and the teeth is like, I mean, as way they're described in the book, they describe them a little more foxy faced as far as like having a bit more of like a muzzle. But the rest was pretty on, and like their clothes kind of look like human skin, and how they were kind of like doing that, like I think they're trying to convey like they're like get the fuck out. That's how Rand and fucking Ingwene were at the beginning of this episode, dude.
That's Nikki and Paolo, baby. Everyone loves you.
Yeah, all right. Not anymore. They're Rand and Ingwene forever. I feel like it was okay. They describe him as having kind of like hoof feet, like almost like goat feet, but then a more like foxy kind of face. I feel like they did that well. I feel like they conveyed that he was, you know, it's a little different than the books. Obviously, it's very, you know, condensed, but I don't hate that. That was okay. Like, I'm not mad at it. And I feel like anybody who's being honest with themselves is the bar's low. I get it. But that was all right with me. And you know what? I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You can even see the spear hanging. He's hanging from the spear outside of the doorway when he gets out.
Oh,
I don't even care that Min saved him with a knife and then gave back. That was enough of a callback to the book to what Rand does. It's okay. That scene, that was one of the few things I really didn't mind this episode. It was probably one of the highlights for me.
Yeah. Oh, those hooves. I didn't notice the hooves before. Yeah. Those are gnarly.
Lisa's, you know, trying really hard, especially today. Like I said, you saw the snack pack and everything, and she was watching it with me, and she's like, yeah, you're fucking right. This Matt's way better. That first dude was a mopey little bitch.
Oh, mopey little Matt.
He gets his fox head.
Yeah. All right. Start hitting your notes. I'm sorry, everyone. I know I should be able to talk about this forever, but it's I want to digest this season a little bit before I go too hard on it. Like, I've already been pretty hard, and I just kind of want to keep shaking my head and wonder what happened. But
I mean, I was so positive up until like really even episode 5 and then episode 6. I was like, okay. I'm like, but I was like, I mean, the Golden Eyes thing was something I was looking forward to so much. And they obviously put tons of work in it, but so many things didn't make sense. And it was just, you know, I know it's a fantasy show. It doesn't have to be that realistic, but you guys just,
again, this is a show, they made this show like they signed a 3-year contract, and like, you need to pander a little bit. You know, you can come back in a season or two and make your political points or do whatever you want to do. But like, this season,
I feel like this is their best effort at it, and it still fell pretty short. Like I said, they had enough stuff to where it's, you know, Alex said it too. He's like, if it doesn't get canceled, it's going to be like, oh, darn, I get to keep watching and like having chats with these people who are my friends that I've met through this. So,
are they, could this help get the, like, if Rafe is trying to make a deal with Amazon, Amazon's like, you know what? You fool me three times, go fuck yourself. Is there a lot of, like, is season four going to be all in places that we've already been, or are they going to go to six new places? Like, would that be part, could he get the cost down? Because look, we have the costumes, we have the sets, we have everything. I can do next season, you know, just make sure you keep my special effects budget in place so we can fix it in post. But
let me think. So, you could, oh man, they're leaving Tanchico. Probably, I would say first place they're going to be is Tyr. That's where Kalendor is. I would say, since that was one of the reasons why they made a mention of Tyr last episode, that they have to sail down by it and then to get back to Camelin. It's like, go back to Camelin, sail back to Camelin. And she's like, okay. They have to go by Tyr to do so. So I would guess that they're going to end up in Tyr. Rand and the Aiel end up in Tyr because that's the next part of the prophecies. It's yet to be seen whether Moraine's going to live or die. Swan's dead. Egwene probably would stay in the waste. Or with the tower splitting, actually, she'd probably end up in a place called Salidar with the rebel Aes Sedai. So that'd be two places. White Tower, it's already there. It'd be three places because Elida. Gowan and Galad would probably still be there. White Cloaks, you know, actually, yeah. So Galad would leave the tower because of the tower coup and go end up with the White Cloaks. That ties in Perrin's and Galad's story. Gowan will stay in the tower or take off with the rebel Aes Sedai, which is probably more likely, even though that would be the opposite of his book arc. And because him and Egwene end up becoming kind of tied together. So wherever Egwene's at, Gawain, I think, will be there if we get a next season. And maybe Camelin, but that would be starting Elaine's, you know, secession arc really quickly if, you know, Robin tried to take over. You know, we got to get rid of Robin, actually. So maybe Robin comes to Tyr and you get him kind of in the place of Belal a little bit, the one that Moraine no scopes and the Dragon Reborn and the Balefire. So, you know, probably Stone of Tyr, Camelin.
Where's Elaine from again? I always forget where Elaine's from.
Camelin.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is where the Two Rivers is as well. So you could tie in the White Cloaks, Galad's. Even Galad and Gawain could go back to Camelin and be waiting for Elaine.
It's time for bed.
No, it's not. Almost, but not yet. Very close. So, you know, I think probably Camelin, Tarvalon, and Tyr. I don't, you know, unless you, because the song can kind of disappear for a while. So you could maybe have a few little things with them, but you wouldn't have to do anything crazy. I don't think you'll be by the Borderlands other than for like Forsaken stuff.
Did we see a single Sean Chan this season? We didn't, did we?
This brings me to one of my points. Actually, you saw a Sean Chan in Egwene's dreams that was not a Sean Chan. It was Lanfear. And then you find out that Moraine knew that Lanfear was torturing her all the time in the world of dreams and then asked her, is Rand beating you? But other than that, yeah, no Sean Chan this season. Not one.
We're going to have to, I think our rewatch is going to have to be, hey, everyone out there, I think I've, you know, I think our rewatch is going to have to be, what's the word? Talkover style, commentary style. Like, yeah. I think we're really going to, I was kind of going back and forth, like, oh, maybe we won't do the commentary this time, but I really need to just have it on with you and just be like that. that right there. What's that?
Yeah. And we can even break them up into two episodes for commentary so we can like pause and talk for a second and not have it take forever, you know, yeah. Split them into two. I mean, that is because I think it's got so much stuff and it's crammed so fast. You're just going to skip over stuff inevitably.
Because if this is A, the show is over. Like we may have watched the series finale. Like it may be over, in which case we need to go back over with a fine tooth comb and see it and figure out what the fuck we just saw. Or we're lucky enough to get more and we need to go back and dig through and find out what is working. Because we're, you know, it's taken us six fucking years to get to this point. Has it been?
Well, I feel like it's obvious. Yeah, no. Four.
Okay. But it's going to be 6 years by the time, if we get a season four, it will be 6 years by the time season four, episode one airs. Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to come out with a bang and start nailing stuff. Dude, so just the last of my notes, you know, Lanfear in her Maleficent phase, like after Rand kind of dumps her, it's just like, that's one of the costumes. Like, great. We get it. Now she's unhinged. She's evil now. Great. Like,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't take that much theatrics, you know, she's not a drag queen. Like I said, the costumes just get more ridiculous. The Moraine love speech by, you know, it's like, what does that have to do with the Dragon Reborn? You love Moraine. Super duper.
Yeah.
What truth is that? Your truth that I feel like that was Rafe's coming out of the closet moment, dude. Like, this is the truth. I love Moraine. Great. What does that have to do with the Dragon Reborn and you defending yourself against being a dark friend?
I'm sorry. I know I keep trying to wrap this up. What's with the fake dragon?
Culloden, the guy? Is that a real thing
from the book? Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better. It was still...
I mean, it's a real thing from the book, but done so ham-handedly, terribly, and with no... Okay. Well, I'm going to channel now and make fucking rain. And then where did that guy go? You just went.
Yeah.
Did you go cry to your mom? Or like, wait, he's just gone. Like, at least let Rand kill him. I mean, I don't. You know, you get this really awesome battle with Moraine and Lanfear. It was pretty cool while being it short. It was fun. Even Lan, and he gets the slice of Forsaken. Good job. That was great. I didn't really have any problems with that. It was cool looking. It was fun. Rand made rain.
Yeah.
Which is it's a significant part of the book. Great. But you...
And called them all assholes.
Right. And at what point do you show Rand? Like how, you know, Rand looking away from Samael and killing a little girl by accident does not show me how amazingly strong he is. You know, I get it. He's a great dude. He harvested her squash. Awesome. But... Dude, do something good. Like, do something powerful. Do something that... And maybe this is just the inner fucking stupid man in me, but it's like, he... You know, I want all the girls to have awesome... Can Rand have one cool fight in three seasons? Like, I get it. But,
I
dude...
You all wetlanders!
Yeah, you are all assholes. But that's about it, man. That's all I got.
Yeah, we obviously missed a lot on this episode. We've missed the last, you know, my whole point this season was to record as soon as possible. I wanted to try to get our opinions out there, you know, on the same day as release. And we've done that. And it's been a little hectic. Just making sure I can hit my release points. But now it's all out there. We're going to do a big recap. I'm just going to do a lot of reading. I don't know that next week. I'm just going to try to just find a different opinion. Cause I'm frustrated and I'm going to continue to be frustrated until I know for sure what's going to happen with season four. I just can't not be. Cause if this is the series finale,
I just don't see it happening, dude. I think that
furious. I think
that's why Rafe really leaned into the things that he wanted to do in the last four episodes, because I think he got I think he got the news that they were getting the axe in season four, or, you know, an episode around episode four. And then he just kind of was like, okay, I'm going to fucking make the costumes as stupid as I want. And
I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory. I'm just going to burn this down. So no one.
I'm not off the boat yet, but like I'm hanging onto the side by a thread and wondering if it would be better to just drop off, because it's just, it's, I mean, obviously I still want to do this with you. I still want to do the show, especially if there's more. I want to do rewatches. It's fun. We crack jokes, but it, man, I'm trying to just be happy that this was better than the first two season finales.
We're going to be here talking about something every week. We'll figure that out. I would like it to be. I love talking about this show. If we're going to get a show, I love talking about how good and how stupid and how terribly not of the books it is. And, you know, it's only going to get weirder. And, you know, there's some choices that Rafe has made that's going to make it have to go so far from the books. It's stupid. And that's fine. That's fine. I'll take whatever this show is, but you're burying it, Rafe. You're doing everything you can to just, yeah, be done with it. So,
and it sucks because there's a lot of actors on the show who've given really, really good performances. Just a lot, you know, there's definitely more good performances in this show, despite, you know, haphazard writing. Or, you know what, maybe Rafe has got such a stranglehold on doing weird off the wall shit that the writers are fucking amazing, because they have kept it reasonably intelligible, because maybe it could have been worse because,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, our next podcast could be whatever the fuck Mogadyn is in. I will watch that actress do anything.
She is so fucking creepy, dude. As long as it's her being creepy and spitting at people's food and finger fucking people's mouths and stuff, I'll watch it, because she's absolutely disgustingly creepy. So
I consider myself a pretty meat and potatoes sexy guy, but I want her to shove a spatula up my asshole and force me to like it.
Do you want to be gay, Desmond?
For you, yes, Mogadyn. I do want
to be scared, for fucking terrifying Bjork, absolutely.
Honestly. Yeah.
Well, you know, it was what is it? The thing is, you know, as the there was a wind that blew, and as the time comes to pass, there's an ending. This is definitely a fucking ending, Rafe. This stream took an odd turn.
Well, you guys should definitely come back.
You should listen to our back episodes, bro.
This was odd turns. We were a little bit gobsmacked today, so we weren't able to take our ad libbing was suboptimal because we were gobsmacked by whatever the fuck this show is.
Thank you, Mule. So, I needed that laugh very much. So appreciate you.
Yeah, come back for more spatulas and ass stories. And we will, I'll do a better job of posting again. I was bad at posting. I think we're going to stick with Thursday nights. They seem to be working for us, but we're going to figure out how to do our rewatch. And I would love, love, love to rewatch it with all of you, to all just put it together. And either A, we have a shitload of time to kill before season four, or this show is a wrap and let's just dunk on.
I brought that up to Alex, and he was, it kind of sounded like he'd be in, and Dane will probably be in. And then I met one of the other fellas, I'm drawing a blank, the Prophet of the Dragon. He came drop by during a stream too. So I think it'd be fun to just, you know, fucking just get it, be cathartic as hell. Just get it all out and just fuck it. And just,
okay, all everyone, and just don't go. Everyone, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere.
Hello.
Hey, my guy.
How you doing?
How are you?
Good.
Doing
thanks.
Well,
good.
Brother.
How are you doing?
Excellent. I'm going to go cry after this.
So we were literally, I was just saying goodbye to our audience when I saw you pop up. So,
am I late?
Yeah. Yeah, we're in daylight savings time now.
So sorry about that.
That's okay.
That is okay. Okay. A short summation of us the last hour. I don't even, I can't. What the fuck? What's going on, editor? What the fuck is happening?
So is this your book brain not being able to make sense of what's going on in the show, or are you looking at the show and not agreeing with it?
Here's my problem. Here's
done poorly.
here's how I opened the show. This episode has the balls of a show that just got renewed for 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And is definitely coming. This is a cliffhanger episode of someone who's like, we have all the time in the world. Let's hang them out there. We're gonna party next season.
I mean, which is how you want it to be, right? Like, you don't want them to every season try to pseudo conclude the thing and kind of give you a less than product. You want something that's continuous over seasons.
But you also don't want to give people so fucking much they don't know what to do with it.
Fair enough.
There's a cliffhanger. Like, there's plenty of cliffhangers they could have left in here while also. I mean, I guess not closing. I don't know. I'll let you talk. Sorry.
It's funny for me because the arc that they closed was more the White Tower succession. And the arcs that they left open were the stuff that they were setting up from the start of the season. Like, you know, Rand's arc and Moraine's arc and the girls chasing Tanchico and the Black Aja and so on. Which is a bit... It's a bit strange, right? Because... You expect the stuff that they spend more time setting up is the stuff that's more advanced and so should conclude. And the stuff that they spend less time, because when was the last time we were in the White Tower in the thing, right? It was like episode 1 and then a few nods to it during episode 2 when Elida came in and then up to episode 4, well, up to episode 3. And then we haven't been back in the White Tower proper, right? We've been there for a few bits and bobs with Elida since then. And then to actually conclude that arc without much meat in the middle is a bit weird. And then all the arcs that have a lot of meat on the bones don't get the conclusion and continue into next season.
Yeah. I will say that, hands down, better finale than the first 2 seasons combined.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If I wasn't so mad about the Golden Eyes episode, I probably would have enjoyed this somewhat because it had enough, you know.
Yeah. I think the way I characterize it is it's a finale that's great for TV. It does what it needs to do for a TV show, for a TV audience. It's got enough action. It's got enough drama. It's got enough, you know, tragedy, whatever you want. My gauge is always my wife, right? And she really enjoyed the episode. Like, really, really enjoyed the episode.
Oh, okay.
And so long as that's okay, then it means that they've sold it to a TV audience, and that's what matters.
Is your wife excited to wait 2.5 years for 8 more episodes?
Absolutely not. I think she'll finish the book between seasons.
Shut up. She's really just lying to you. She's like, oh, I loved it so much. And then she goes around, she's like, please let this shit fucking get canceled.
Yeah. She started book 1. So she's very slowly turning into a book cloak as she goes along. It's like, why did they do this? Why did they do that? And I'm like, yeah, well, that's what you get.
What are your... I mean, for those who
overall,
don't know,
what do you think?
So this is the guy, everyone out there, this is the fan edit. This is the @wote fan edit. He's the one who does them. He's fantastic at it. And what are your, like, what are your initial, like, just the first time through, are you just like, you know what? Season, episode 5, I don't need any of it.
No, well, and some of the viewers should probably know you. You've been on with the White Cloaks before. I think some of the people who are here live are some of the White Cloaks.
Yeah, I've been on with a few different folks before, so hopefully people know me a little bit. Initial thoughts. The entire season is very, very tightly edited. Like, very tightly edited. Yeah, a lot of the episodes, including the finale, feel more like a montage than a continuous story in some scenes and some places.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%.
So there are things I would do, like I did in season 2 edit, which is cut things out of sequence and remix them and make longer continuous scenes than chopping and changing from one party to the next, right? That's number one.
Told
I think there's certain things. there's definitely a few things to cut out. I realized afterwards Melindra as an entire character, as an entire mini arc, is completely wasted. Like, the payoff isn't worth casting an actress, writing a backstory for them, having the scenes occur in the season, and so on. Complete waste of screen time.
Can I ask you, I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Melindra, how old would she have been leaving Melkier? Like three? And swearing your own dark? I just want to reinforce your point. Sorry, it's so stupid. Go ahead.
Yeah, and to dedicate the screen time to it to not get a satisfactory payoff. So there's a lot you can cut out there. Leandra's backstory, we don't need multiple scenes of the child bride arc. It reminds me of the son arc last season. Like, there's just no need for that. There's no need for that much of backstory for her. We already know her backstory. She told it to Nynaeve in a way last season. That's really all you need. And then there's a few other things I'll need to come to. There's a lot of unfired Chekhov's guns in the season, as there was last season. So, you know, I'm still waiting for that season one Steppen arc to pay off. You know, it's coming soon, anytime now.
Just to let you know, he wasn't a dark friend.
Yeah.
It's just shame.
There's probably a few things as I go through. I'm not gonna let's say take a 2-year hiatus like I did with season two. I'm starting this week already. So
really? Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Wow.
I feel like the editor, I mean, I have a lot of faith in you, but I was like, he's gonna make this awesome, because there was enough good shit in this season where I think when you cut it down to 4 hours or so, it's gonna be fucking epic.
I don't know if I get it down to. It might need to be a two-parter this time around. Let's see how much of the story survives, and we take it from there. Cold open for the movie. Very easy. It's the Dark Friends meeting up, the Forsaken meeting up. There's nothing else in the season that's a worthy cold open for that. And I think a lot of the cold opens are also a little bit wasted.
Which part are you talking about?
Like episode 3, I think. Episode 3. The Raven, Samael, and Lanfear meet up. Yeah. Perfect. That's it.
Yeah.
Max, absolutely. Every Aes Sedai that they need to live does get healed. It's pretty crazy, actually.
And Alana's freaking immortal, right? At this point, we've established.
Dude, you know what? She will never be airtight again with all those ones.
Oh,
she got pincushioned as shit.
Yeah,
like, you know, just
I'm gonna cut out a few of the arrows eating her. I think like 2 or 3 is probably okay.
The one where she's on the rock and she just literally, I think she takes like 2 in each extremity, and then I don't want to keep it too long. Who shot her the last time with the giant?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a freaking huge thing, right?
That she lived for hours and days, died immediately just because it came in her front in the exact same.
Yeah, she didn't have the plot armor.
That plot armor is a motherfucker. What did you think of the Balefire?
I thought it was cool. I would have liked a bit of a cheaper 1980s sci-fi movie effect, because in the books, the way I headcanon it is, you just get the colors reversing, right? So all you have to do is just do this, like, the color swapping backwards and forwards, and then the object disappears.
Although I didn't hate the effect of them kind of like showing the little thing, I just thought that the Balefire itself should have just looked like a flat blade of light, you know?
Yeah. I suppose it would have looked cheesy, but like, that's how I pictured it in my mind.
Yeah.
Proper 1980s sci-fi show, just, you know, nothing better available to them.
What about Ilfin?
Fantastic. I actually didn't think
I thought it was good. I liked it.
I don't think we were going to get them at all.
He was a little bit weird looking, like not quite as fox face as I like, but I think other than that, it was pretty nailed. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you wish you would have gotten more.
I wonder if show watchers actually make. I need to ask my wife to find what.
Yeah, I'm curious. They'll be like, "Who the fuck are those guys?"
Yeah, exactly.
-15 years old would not be. That's probably accurate. So. Stuff like that, it was still wasted. I think you could have done so much. And like I said, I feel like I felt really good about the season until, you know, episode 5 when I started going, and I was really upset. The Golden Eyes thing was, I was looking so forward to it, and it just...
So what was your issues with episode 7?
Just, you know, could we have gotten, you know, anything before Perrin following some Trollocs, just earning that leadership, just do stuff to make people believe in him other than just being from there and used to be the blacksmith that murdered his wife. You know what I mean? And like, a lot of people aren't really loving how fast Faile and him get into it. I thought they were fine. Her parents being a dark friend, that's great. The way they did the fight stuff, you know, the like, the like telepathic text message to Ilana, Ilana channeling 30 miles, even though she's attached to like four people. I'm not hugely against her getting healed the first time by Matt's sisters, but then the second time where you just don't see it. And then, you know, did we have to burn Eamon Valda? Could we have killed him any other way than two little white girls burning a black guy? It's just not my favorite. I think
the daughters had to burn him because he burnt their mom. It's kind of poetic.
I get it. 100%. And he likes to burn witches. I get it.
But,
you know, it's just, I don't know. Perrin just kind of giving himself up already, I hated. No one kind of standing up for him at all, I hated.
He should have talked them down to allow him to go, not just Faile, but the whole village.
Yeah, I should have had something to say about it, you know, and it was just done haphazardly. And I think that it just missed, you know, giving that episode to Stepan and Ilana was bullshit.
Damn should have been there. Basically. I think the actor probably wasn't available.
He wasn't. Yeah, I get that. That's, you know, that's stuff that happens in TV, but that was Perrin's episode. And, you know, what did he do?
It feels very lightweight versus the version in the books. I would say that. And I'm with you there. There's not enough buildup in the episodes before to make it really feel.
Right. And you could have done it with just a few little things.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then I also thought, I mean, they had the entire setup for the battle exactly like Helm's Deep. Exactly like Helm's Deep. You've got your outer fortifications. You've got your inner fortifications. You've got your retreat. And then you've got your center, like your fort or your inn, where you're going to make your last stand, right? You even got the children. You even got the children who are going to be whisked away and hidden.
Through the tunnel, exactly. There were so many like
parallels,
Lord of the Rings references in that episode. It was like very
exactly.
And very, like,
but then the battle itself. I think the main criticism I have of it is that they didn't write its own 3-act structure for it. Right. And I think the main thing that's missing,
thing for you. And you know what? I think it's a very smart. it makes things make sense. And when people try to get too cute, that's what happens.
You need the end of act two, what they call the dark night of the soul, right? Which is the moment where all hope is lost and you think your heroes are about to lose. And then you have the turn, right? Where something comes through. Whether it's Gandalf on the third day or whether it's, you know, whatever it should be. But the battle feels very continuous in the sense that things happen and then other things happen and then other things happen and then other things happen. So the moment where they lose the pass, for example, it should be a narrative sort of turning point in the thing. But it's just, you know, Maxim comes into the inn and he tells Perrin, you know, we held him for as long as we could, but, you know, they're coming, da-da-da-da. So none of these things feel like narrative turning points in the battle, like, oh, no, the tide is turning. It's more like the battle is progressing in its natural course, which isn't as satisfying as a viewer, right? And so there's a lot of these types of things where you need that emotional stakes that just aren't there. And, you know,
Exactly.
And then, which means you also don't feel the catharsis in the end, right? Like it's, the battle ends. I mean, they go for the emotional payoff with Perrin not using the axe on Baden Fane. But you don't, other than that, you don't really get that catharsis that you want, right?
Well, and when he stands up and yells at the Trollocs, like I get there was probably no way out of that without, you know, way more bloodshed. But he just like yells at him and then the Trollocs are like, okay, I guess we'll get out of here. I can't even get into fucking Loial's death.
We don't have to because he's not dead.
Exactly.
But he writes, you know, the equivalent of the like Odyssey and the Iliad or, you know, in this, you know, age. And like,
Yeah.
I think it's just because that actor couldn't handle all the prosthetics and they didn't know what to do with them, I think. So.
Nah, I don't think it's about the actor handling the prosthetics. I think that's not a good enough excuse. Probably they just didn't have, or they had too many characters already. And besides hanging around with the characters, there wasn't much more for him to do. They probably decided.
He disappears for a large chunk of the books too, so.
Yeah. Which you could do in the season. Like, you could just have him disappear, right? He needs to go off to his steading to heal. Park him for a few seasons. We've already had a season without Tom. We've had a season without Tam. It's as easy as that, right? The guy had the longing anyway.
I think Loial is going to pop out of his steading. I think the next time we see Loial, it'll be people.
No.
No?
I think, I think very, very strongly feel that this is the case. If you listen to the music cue when he is busy destroying the Waygate, go listen to it again and you'll know where he's going to pop up.
Let's just say he's going to become a bladder blower.
Yeah.
Or a sheep tutor. We don't know.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. I got to cut you guys.
Guys has got to go, man. Do you want to come on next week and talk?
I will.
Just shoot me an email. I'll be there.
Definitely. I'll get you the times and the links and make sure that you have an open invite through next week. We're just going to kind of do a wrap up, just kind of talk about everything. And then we're going to start an official.
That'll be perfect. We need way more time with this man for a little discussion.
I'm going to try and put in a lot of work this week then, so that I have some ideas of how the edit is shaping up by next week.
You're the man.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You're the best. Thank you for coming.
That's a pleasure. And sorry for missing it.
So. That's
okay. You're good, man. If you're going to come on next week, you're forgiven.
Yeah.
You've taken this slow. Let's just put it this way. This show started with me forgetting to press live. So this show started off.
Hey, ended up being all right though, Des. I'm just saying.
It ended up being great. So I'm just going to finish on the same note I started with. Why is nothing a fork?
May you always find water and shade. Desmond, put the spatula in your horn box. White Cloaks, folks, Mule, Thumb Maryland, Max, anybody else who I didn't see, thank you guys for coming, man. I really appreciate the support. That's really cool of you guys. Editors next week, guys, show back up.
Yeah, you guys rock. All you guys, editor, and all the viewers watching, you have taken this show to the next level, and I appreciate all of you. I'm going to kick everyone out so that we don't talk over the theme songs. I want to make sure everyone gets the email address and all that stuff. So we'll see you. We'll see you all next week.
Hey, you always find water in shade. Thanks, editor.
Thank you. Good night. For listening to Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. Do yourself a favor.
I love you, brother.
Tune in live on YouTube at What Sounds Awesome. Thursday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And check us out in real time. Get your questions and comments read on air, or just be the first to hear us. If you can't be here live, please send your questions and comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Until then, put your dagger in the horn box. Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
And this is where the hilarious outtake would appear.